Hi, this is Diane, and this is the Wednesday at One group on October 8th. Let's just start. We always start with just a quick check-in. So there's just, we've got Christine and we've got Tammy on the call. Just let us know how things have been going since the last time we met. I know we talked about self-care last time. What was your experience in terms of practicing self-care and working on this stuff for the last couple of weeks? Tammy, you want to start?
Oh, sure. I didn't really work on too much from last week because that was really difficult. But anyway, I have been working more on the plan for impulsivity, and so we had a few trouble spots this week, and school's getting a little harder, so a few trouble spots there. So I've had really good communication with the teachers. I've been doing really well at that. And then also Dennis saw his counselor last night, and she wrote him up a plan, and they practiced it together. And I had called her beforehand, and he didn't know it. And anyway, we were walking home together, and he said to me, he said, were you the one that called her and let her know what was going on with me? And I said, why? And he said, because if you were the one that did that, thank you very much. He goes, I really needed that. I really needed to have a plan, and I really appreciate you caring about me so much to call her. I just thought that was really great. Yeah, it was a really nice step forward, and it told me that he's really taking ownership of it, and he really wants to know how to handle it correctly, and he doesn't really realize what's happening to him, but he really wants to handle it in a safe way. So I think it's very scary for him when that happens. And so I know he feels a little safer with that now. So
always feels good when our kids notice when we get involved. A lot of times our kids get frustrated when we get involved. So it's, you know, enjoy that and suck it up because I'm sure it feels really good, Tammy.
Exactly.
Awesome.
So that was great. I felt like that was a leap in bounds.
So I'm just curious. You said that the self-care thing was really hard, and so you didn't tackle it. What about it specifically was difficult?
Well, just, you know, all of it is just hard. It just, it's just not my thing. I was doing pretty good with it, actually. I was doing really well with it, actually, for a long time. And then, let me just move here. And then my dad passed away. And then it just brought, hang on one second. I'll just sit there. And it just, it just brought back a lot of stuff. I grew up in a house of abuse, and it just brought back a lot of stuff. And then I found out that he was not supportive of, and he wasn't supportive of adoption at all. It just brought back a lot of junk, and it's just been really hard to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, I worked with Dennis on the other stuff, so that was good.
Yeah. Well, no, and you have. And I would just encourage you to, you know, we'll loop back around to self-care in a couple weeks because it's so important, but just encourage you. Sometimes it's those hard things that we need to focus in on. And if you've had some successes this week, this might be a perfect week to say, okay, what do I want to do to celebrate? You know, I've done a really good job in working with my son on the school stuff. What can I do to treat myself? And that sometimes is just a simple way to do some easy self-care.
Right. Actually, yeah, I really do need to do that. We've adopted four kids, and actually a couple of my, people I knew who I thought were friends of mine told me that they were destructive and disobedient and just, so anyway, I've lost a few friends. Well, apparently they weren't friends, but anyway, people have dropped off from my life since getting a couple of these kids, which is totally fine because I didn't need them in my life anyway. So anyway, I've just had a very, very, you know, only like one or two people around right now. So it's just a really weird time in life right now, but it's okay. I'm just have to regroup and get it back together. But this is what we want. We want to have these children. We want to raise these children. I love these children, and that's the way it's going to be. So just have to kind of start over with friendship. So.
Yeah. So, Christine, how have things been going for you?
Things have been going well. Been busy. I was out of town for a few days with my husband, so that's nice and gives us a break from the kids and stuff. So they always are happy to see us come home, so that's nice. But actually, it's really been smooth, and my son, you know, it's so nice every year to see how they are maturing and taking ownership, and he really is kind of stepping up. He's a junior, so he's stepping up, and he's not, I mean, the biggest problem with him is that you never feel like you really see him working super hard. He's always kind of trying to, from what we feel, sort of get by, the easiest way and that kind of thing. And so he's having some issues because this junior year is hard. And, you know, my husband and I say we're all there for supporting him and stuff. But, you know, when you don't feel like he's sometimes, you don't feel like he's just working so hard and just pulling his hair out and trying and trying and trying and then still not doing well. It's like if you saw that going on, you could totally understand. And, you know, like, yeah, you did work hard and whatever, and it's still not helping. You know, at least you have a baseline. Like with him, we just sort of like, yeah, but he doesn't even try. So.
Yeah, well, and it makes sense that you would think that, you know, it's like if you're seeing, if, you know, if effort looks a certain way to you, and effort's what required to have success, and you don't see him doing that thing that you think requires success, you're like, well, come on, just do that, and you would be successful. And it's hard to be compassionate when you don't see them doing what you think is the bare minimum.
Right, and it's just, I mean, it's, I know he does try, and he does work hard, but he doesn't work. We think he will work enough to get by, but his fear is that he knows if he does really put all of that into it and then he does do well, then our expectations rise. And that means this is how we read it back to him, is that means that, holy moly, he's going to have to work that hard all the time, and he just doesn't have that. You know, he doesn't want to set our expectations to have to live up to that.
Yeah, so Christine, is that your interpretation, or has he said that to you, or where is that coming from?
That's some of it's our interpretation, looking at him, because we've seen, and we've talked about it with him a little bit before, but just because we know when he has worked hard, or, you know, really either, you know, did a really big study guide and worked with my husband, or, you know, really worked on vocabulary words, and you saw him working, you know, you really knew he was doing it and a lot. And he did better, you know, like he did well then on the test. So we just, you know, interpretation.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about activating the brain. But the thing that kind of pops into my head as you're talking is about the understanding the role of motivation in the way that the ADHD brain works. And the reality is that, you know, part of what might be going on for him is that he's not motivated sufficiently to be able to work hard, and he's probably at an age where he's not able to create the motivation for himself. So one of the roles that we have to play as parents is to help them find the motivation, because the reality is that the ADHD brain just can't function without true interest. You know, so whether it's a reward, whether it's a you know, whether it's competition, so he's, you know, whether it's making it, you know, clever and inspiring him, you know, it's what we find is that our kids do a lot better in classes that really are interesting for them.
Right. Oh,
their brain literally tracks better when they're really interested, and their brain, I mean, it's almost like they've got jello in their brain when that kind of intrigue and interest isn't there. It's like they're walking through the mud with really heavy shoes on. It's just really hard to get the traction going in your brain if you're not really intrigued by a topic. And so it feels like it's just effort, but it really is more about biology, and we'll talk about some of the biology today. So I just would continue to be curious, because I think it's good to say, okay, what's going on with him? What could be making it difficult for him? And see what you uncover. You know, we always start with curiosity is one of the tools we use. But, you know, start with educating yourself on what might be going on for him. And it's important to kind of come up with hypotheses, but I always like having 3 or 4 possible things that might be going on instead of assuming that it's one, because usually with our kids, they're a lot more complex than that, and there's a lot more than just one thing going on. And maybe that he's afraid of failing. It could be that he's afraid of failing. It could be that he's having a difficult time following the teacher. It could be, you know, there's lots of things that could be going on, and so it's important to kind of do what you can to get as much detail, and it's hard because our kids don't want to talk to us, right?
Right. No, it's true. It's not fair to infer on what they're – he's just – he's sometimes tough to, sometimes, but not,
yeah.
No, you're right.
It's hard. It's hard because our brains work different. And I think that one of the big ahas I still remember having early on with my husband, because we have such different ways of approaching life, is that he would see me working so hard, and he's like, "You must be exhausted." And I wasn't, I was energized, but that's how I related to life. And if he would try to work as hard as I worked, it would have overwhelmed him so much that he wouldn't have been able to even exist. So it's hard to kind of get ourselves out of our own paradigm and into our kids sometimes.
Right.
So, well, it's good to know that that he's getting some support. It sounds like he's tackling some subjects better than others, and he's having a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of ups and downs and stuff. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. And he's taken, I mean, he scheduled one of his tutors he has him twice a week, but he had him come for a third time for the week this week. So it basically was a day earlier, but he scheduled that himself, which I think is huge, because that's very important that, you know, we're very supportive. If you need more tutor time, go for it and, you know, get it done. But for him to actually do it and get it done was a great step, and you know, he's definitely showing the maturity and getting some things together, I guess.
Well, and I think that is huge, and I can't tell you, I can't remember how old Tammy all your kids are, but there's this huge milestone when our kids begin to recognize that they need help. And then it's an even bigger milestone. I mean, it's like my son is 15, and he came home the other day, and he's like, "Oh, I had a really rough day. I bombed a test." And I'm like, "Oh, wow, what do you want to do about it?" He goes, "I already talked to the teacher. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." You know, and it's just kind of that sort of realization that I can do something. I'm powerful enough to take action, and I want to, you know. And so celebrate that, because it's a huge milestone, and it'll be, you know, a great help as you continue to move him forward through these next couple of years. It's a great plateau to be at, is what I would say, Christine.
Yeah.
So, great check-in.
I wanted to say real quick, I'm going to hang up and call back in because my connection's a little bit funny. So I'm just going to drop real quick and just sign right back in.
Okay. Tammy, can you hear okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So I'm going to wait for her because there's this tubule on, and I don't want to have to repeat the...
That's fine.
Was anything come up for you as she was sharing what's going on for her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, my 17-year-old has fetal alcohol syndrome, and so he does have the ADHD along with that as well. But, and so, yeah, so, and he's 17 as well. And so, yeah, a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is a joy when you find them taking steps on their own and wanting to get things accomplished, instead of avoiding them. So it's just a treasure. So yeah.
Sure. Okay, so we want to take aim, and so that's the next step. And I don't know if you guys both have your workbook out, but we are in the technically the third or fourth step of the process. I'm going to take us back and just go through, because it's new to everybody, the parenting action model real quick. So we acknowledge that there's lots of challenges. There's kind of six core challenge areas, and each time we're facing a challenge area, we want to take aim, and we want to get really specific about what we're focused in terms of where we want to take action. And it's not just my kid's having a hard time with school. It might be my kid needs to have more motivation around completing homework assignments when he's not really interested in them. It might be my child needs support in figuring out how to make sure they turn assignments in. It might be my child needs to learn how to manage their emotional intensity when they're in a situation where their siblings are getting, are riling them up. And then the first step is to educate and get really curious and to learn what's going on with your child, both from a biology perspective, if it's the ADD, from a social perspective, and then also what's going on with you and how that's impacting the situation. And then we plan around the four critical response areas. And so today we're going to talk about the first of the four critical response areas, and that is activating the brain. And activating the brain is a particularly important topic when you're dealing with ADD, because the biology of their brain is really different. ADD is a neurobiological disorder, which means that it impacts the way the brain works, and that the ADD brain literally does work differently than a non-ADD brain does, both chemically, hormonally, and then also structurally. They've done some research to show that the part of the brain, the frontal lobe, which is where executive function sits, is actually smaller on average in people that have ADD. And that from an efficiency perspective, the way that the hormones flow and the stimulation goes through that part of the brain is less efficient. And so it makes it difficult for our kids to focus. It makes it difficult for them to manage all of the functions of executive function. And there's a whole section in this chapter about executive function. And let me just do a check-in. Tammy, Christine, when I say the word executive function, is that a new term for you, or is that a term you're familiar with?
Oh, no, I'm familiar with that. With the little boy we adopted with fetal alcohol syndrome, the alcohol destroyed a lot of the executive functioning. So we've been familiar with it for quite a while.
Okay. Christine, what about you? Is that a term you're familiar with?
Yes.
Okay. So I would encourage folks who are listening who aren't familiar with the term executive function, there's a page that talks about the six key areas of challenge for ADD and executive function in the workbook. There's also a couple of webinars that we've done. In fact, the October webinar next week is going to be on executive function, so would encourage you to get that on your calendar. Dr. Mark Burton did a webinar for us on executive function. We've done a webinar on executive function, and there's a lot of great information in our ebook, ADD in Reality, that kind of walks you through the different challenges of executive function. But basically what's going on in the ADD brain is that part of the frontal lobe is the part that manages executive function. And so it makes it more difficult for them to do things like focus and follow through and remember multiple things at once. You know, we were joking with a younger kids group the other day about how you'll send your child upstairs for a pair of shoes and you'll find them, 15 minutes later playing with a toy on the floor, because it's hard for them to remember, the things that they've been asked to do. And then monitoring and self-regulating action, knowing what to do and when to do it, and what not to do and when not to do it, both in terms of emotions and then taking action. So the reason activating the brain becomes important is because through activating the brain, we can help that part of the brain work more efficiently. And that's true for all of us, whether we've got ADD or not. If our brain is operating on all cylinders, we're more able to stay calm, we're more able to focus, we're more able to accomplish. If we're stressed out, that part of our brain gets, in a couple weeks about triggers and about stress. But if we get stressed out, that part of our brain really shuts down. And so we don't have access to all the problem-solving capabilities. So doing things to activate the brain becomes important, not just for ADDers, but for the rest of us as well, but especially for ADDers because of the way that that part of the brain works. It's important for three reasons. One is that it helps us to optimize our brain function. It helps us to regulate our moods. And then, as I mentioned, it counteracts some of the biology that's going on with ADD. And when we talk about activating the brain, we're really talking about a lot of different sorts of things. It could be eating right. It could be getting enough sleep. If your child's on medication, it could be, you know, using medication to activate the brain. It could be exercise. Exercise definitely stimulates and activates the brain. But it's really just remembering that if your child's having a difficult time doing something, if your child is having a challenge, one of the places to look to get help for what to do is to say, what's going on from a biological perspective, and do I need to do something to activate the brain? So, for example, if your child is after school, your child's having a difficult time getting going on their homework. They're kind of dragging their feet. They're sitting around. They're watching YouTube. See, that sounds familiar. That's what was happening at my house yesterday. You know, you ask yourself, well, what could be going on with the brain? Well, if your child is anything like mine, they've been spending the entire day holding it all together. They get home from school, they're exhausted physically, emotionally. Their medication is starting to wear off if they're on medication. And their brain is just not in a place to focus like it needs to be able to start on homework and complete homework, which takes a lot of executive function. So, for example, you might want to make sure your child has a protein snack after school, or you might want to make sure your child, you know, if your kid goes for a run after school, and my son likes to go out and shoot hoops for a while after school before he tries to tackle homework. But sometimes they just need time, downtime. Some people need a nap in the afternoon, or they need just kind of mindless, you know, not to do anything time or reading or something. But you want to refuel the brain so that it can be active again and can do all the things it needs to do from an executive function perspective. So that's why activating the brain is important, particularly for ADDers. I'm curious for both of you, what comes up for you as I am sharing this topic?
Well, I guess for my son, he doesn't have a sport or anything this in the fall, and I feel like he's got way too much time after school, and like you say, looking at YouTube, and he's very into remote control airplanes, and he builds them and flies them and watches videos about them all the time, and which is really great because we think it's a good thing for him to know, but he doesn't get, my feeling is he needs more exercise, and I've been trying to encourage that, and I just get a lot of pushback because I think he needs, I'm like, just go run around the block a few times, just do jumping jacks, I don't care, but get your blood moving and do something. I try to say, you know, it's health for your body as well as your brain, but I'm not having huge success. I'm not putting my foot down or making it a huge deal about it, but I guess that's what I feel is that I feel if he had that, it would just break up his afternoon and get his brain going.
Well, so there's two different ways to approach that, Christina. I think that part of it is understanding what motivates and inspires him. And the first way would be to, you know, and I don't know whether you guys have house rules, but, you know, some families have house rules that say everybody has to do things to take care of their brain. You know, so everybody has to eat right. Everybody has to exercise a certain number of times a week. You know, at our house, I try to encourage my kids to be physically active a few times a week and be in a sport or be doing something. So you might do it from hey, we're all going to do something to take care of our health and get healthy. And so everybody has their physical activity plan as a PFP or whatever it is, PAP. So that's one way to approach it. The other way to approach it is to just really begin to notice and share with him how physical activity helps you, first of all, because that's the one thing is, like, if we model, we can say, wow, I just worked out and I feel so focused. I was able to clean the house in 15 minutes and it's because I had so much energy from working out and it really helped, whatever it is. You know, so you want to share how physical activity helps you. And then you want to notice for them, and it's not maybe not for just physical activity, but in terms of activating their brain. So share with them when you notice that they're able to focus. And the example you gave was a really good one, which is maybe the model airplanes. It's like, well, what is it about model airplanes that makes it easy to focus in on it? But this other thing that you want to be able to focus in on and you can't, it's really hard. And that's really where activating the brain comes in, because the difference is motivation. He's really inspired and motivated about the model airplanes. If he can find a way to get inspired and motivated about the other thing, like, for example, if my son's really excited right now because if he can keep all A's and B's through the semester, he gets to buy a game that he really wants. And so he's like, I am going to work really hard. I'm really motivated to do really well this semester because I can see that prize and it's really important to him to get this game. You know, so you want to find the motivation is another example of activating the brain. But what you're doing is you're sharing with them what you're seeing in terms of when they are able to focus and when they aren't, and say, wow, you know, you really were able to get that done really quickly. What do you think it was? Well, I just got done eating and I had enough, you know, or I got a good night's sleep last night, or I got a, you know, whatever it is. So you start talking to them about how the brain health can help them to be more productive. Does that resonate, Christine?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, he is one of these kids that's not motivated by much, because he just, and we've tried everything. We've tried paying him for his grades. We've tried paying him to study. We've tried to tell him we'll get stuff, but he'd rather go without. I mean, even if you take stuff away, like, you know, which we don't do so much anymore because either he's outgrown things or whatever, but it's sort of like, yeah, fine, just take it. So he's been hard. It's just funny. I mean, he's this fun, super smart, this kid, like, yeah, go ahead, try, or, you know, it's not, I'm thinking maybe an airplane may motivate him because that's sort of the thing at the moment, but, you know, if we, you know, say to get the next, either buy one or whatever, but it doesn't hold his, he's not motivated, or those things have not seemed to work yet to motivate him enough to have his grades up.
And I think that's the challenge, is that at 16, and Tim, you relate to this, is that, you know, at some point it has to become his problem. And it sounds like right now his grade performance is more your problem than it is his problem. Is that fair?
Well, it kind of was, but I feel like I'm kind of going through a transition at this point, too. It's like, I can't do much. I mean, I can support you, and that's why I want to be able to coach him better. And some of the things, but it's, at this point, it's like, I can't do too much more for you. And at this point, you're on your own. I mean, you're not on your own, but your choices are going to reflect what you're doing now is going to be what your choices are in the future. I mean, there's nothing else we can do. I mean, but I think he's getting that and sort of seeing that, and he's got in his mind, you know, we talk about colleges and stuff and things, some are beneath him. Like, I wouldn't go there. Are you kidding? Or like, I wouldn't do that. And I literally looked at him like he had three eyes. I'm like, dude, you can't go. I mean, you almost can't go anywhere else. So he has this disconnect, like he doesn't see himself as going to something he thinks would be beneath him, but no one's ever put that on him. Like, we want you to go to college. It doesn't matter where you go, we just want you to go. But he has in his own mind where you know, smart people or whatever people go. He's put that on himself. And so I just thought, but you know, you're not getting grades that are going to give you that opportunity. And that's what we keep saying, is that the better grades you have, the more options you have. So right. I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it feels funny, but the reality is that it's actually a working memory challenge because it's the relationship between cause and effect that is kind of broken in their brain. And so they, where you and I go, oh, if I don't have good grades now, then I won't be able to go to the college that I want to go to in 2 years. And in the ADHD brain, there's literally only two times. There's now, and then there's not now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what happens is that our kids and our spouses and whoever else has ADD, they get in, one of my clients calls it magical thinking. She has a bad case of magical thinking where it's like you think that, you know, even if you fail all your classes, that somehow magically you'll be able to do what you want to be able to do. And it's literally the way the brain works. And I know it sounds weird to someone who's not ADD, but I've had clients and parents tell me this over and over again. It's literally a disconnect. And so part of what we need to do – what's that?
No, I was just laughing. It was totally, when he said that, I was just like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
Yep, exactly. But. Exactly. And we call it magical thinking around our house. But it's mm-hmm. but and the other piece of it is that developmentally they're behind. And so even though they're 16, 17, you know, 11, whatever they are, you know, you want to subtract 3 to 5 years. So there's part of him that's still mm-hmm. 11, you know, and at 11 – you don't get the fact that, you know, you aren't thinking that far in the future. And so part of what we have to do over and over and over again is to say, okay, you want to be able to go to college X. And I'm going to make this up. You want to be able to go to Berkeley. I want to go to Berkeley. You know, so it's like, what do you think you need to do in order to, you know, what are the things you would need to have in place in order to do that? What do you need to, you know, and you kind of back into that and you go step by step by step. It's the same thing when you're working with them on extended projects. You go step by step by step and say, okay, if you want to be done by October 15th, what do you need to be done by October 14th? What do you need to be done by October 12th? You know, and you kind of go back and help them to connect the dots from a working memory perspective because their brain doesn't do it naturally. They really do need the help in mapping and connecting the dots. Does that resonate, Christine?
Yeah, it does for sure. I mean, he's also dyslexic, so school's always been hard for him, and he doesn't. What's also hard is since he doesn't enjoy school, he doesn't have the interest, which is what you were talking about earlier. Is, you know, holding that interest, and it's just so sad that, you know, that some kids just can't find that niche or the something or the teacher that keeps them interested and really gives them that hope to go on. And I mean, I think his thought on college is like, are you kidding me? 4 more years of this that I don't even like as it is. Like, why? So I think in some ways he would rather turn for the woods and run than really, I mean, I really feel because I think, I mean, in a lot of ways I can relate to him because that was similar for me is that why would I want to do this for 4 more years that it's, you know, it's not fun.
Yeah.
It seems
well,
like
and it's hard because I'm going to switch over to Tammy in just a second, but what comes up for me as you're sharing that is that what's important for anybody is you understand why they want to do something. So it's not that we want to go to college. There's a why that we would want to go to college. So we want to go to college because we want to, you know, have a certain lifestyle, or we want to feel accomplished, or we want to be able to have a vocation that is important to us, or we want to, you know, feel successful or whatever it is, you know, so there's a why underneath that. And we tend to focus so much on the what, which is I want to go to college. Well, the reality is we don't want to go to college. We want to finish college so that we can do whatever college enables us to accomplish either practically or from an emotional perspective. And so if you can help him get to what does he want out of life, I want to feel successful. I want to feel, you know, accomplished. I want to feel, you know, whatever it is that he wants, I want, you know, and there are going to be things that inspire him now. And you almost have to, again, it's back to connecting the dots. Can I find a way to say, okay, if I was going to solve this problem, I want to be happy and self-confident. That's what most of us want our kids to be, is happy and self-confident. We wouldn't necessarily send them off to college. That wouldn't be the best track to helping them to be happy and self-confident. But once they go to college and they've finished the degree, then it might help them to be happy and self-confident. And it's the direction. Which direction are you solving the problem? Are you solving the problem to the thing you want them to do, or the what they will have when they have the thing? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so Tammy, what comes up for you in terms of activating the brain?
Oh, the working memory, actually, for sure. the working memory, for sure. And let's see, I'm just trying to. He's got a lot of. Right now, he's Dennis, the 10-year-old. He has a lot of trouble with the emotion part of it too. He just gets all messed up. He thinks, you know, if something's difficult, he wants to get it done right away. And if he has to keep doing it over and over, he gets very upset and comes all unglued. So, yeah.
So how could you, what of the activating the brain tools do you think would be most helpful for you when he gets to that point where it's like he doesn't want to keep going?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Which one of the activating the brain tools? Would it be exercise? Would it be noticing what's going on with his medication? Would it be nutrition? Would it be sleep? Would it be, you know, what kind of could you use?
I mean, there's certain areas he has trouble with depending on which day it is. And you know, and all of those play a little role depending on what day it is. And I get that. But I'm thinking of writing. He's in fifth grade, they have writing just by itself as a whole class. And it really bothers him to keep writing something over and over again. You know how you have to do a rough draft and then the teacher makes corrections and you have to do a final draft and all of that. And he likes to do it, get it done, and hand it in. And actually, got an email from the teacher this morning that he handed in his rough draft as the final draft. And she said to me, she goes, "I know it was the rough draft because all my corrections were still on it." Yeah, that sounds like him. So she's giving him another chance to do a final draft. But but anyway, with the writing, I think it would be, you know, for the teacher probably to sit him down, because I think we're way beyond my knee now. But, you know, to sit him down and say, you know, listen, if you just would get this done, then we'll be done with this one, you know. I think if he can kind of get that clear in his mind, he'll be okay. But it just seems like
a
huge amount to him.
Yeah. So do you mind if I coach you around this a little bit, Tammy?
Sure.
So what do you think is going on for him with the writing?
I think that the way he speaks isn't, he's only 10. So he has the grammar of a child who's younger, which is not appropriate, you know, I mean, like little kid language, you know, which is not the grammar they want you to use in your writing, you know. And so I think that's difficult for him because it doesn't translate as correct when you put it on paper. I think it takes him a long time to write because he gets a lot of thoughts in his head. And I think he just wants, I mean, and like you said, the 3 to 5 years behind, I think he just wants to play. It's something that is so not important to him.
Right. So his brain goes faster than his hand, and it makes it harder for him to write. He knows that he doesn't communicate the way that the teacher wants to, so he feels like he's failing a little bit inside, and it's
right.
Hard for him. And it's boring. It's boring.
Extremely.
Right?
And he just wants to play. He wants to play. He just wants to play away from kids that don't make fun of him, and he just wants. Actually, what he wants to do is just do a Lego set. He's like, if you just give me a Lego set, I will go off and not bother anybody. He just wants to be left alone and do what he does, and he's on total hyper focus when I give him a Lego set.
Right.
Totally.
And it's hard and it's the same thing with an older kid. They get hyper focused on the model airplanes or YouTube,
mm-hmm.
or whatever else it is. And so again, it's about motivation. And so two questions to ask in my mind, Tammy, in this situation is, one, is there a way to make it easier for him? Because it really does sound like it's tough for him. The other side of it is there a way to motivate him? So you want to kind of look at both pieces of it. So a lot of ADD kids have, the word is, I guess, dysgraphia. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but my son has it, where it's like really hard for them to write physically. And part of it is that their brain goes so much faster that it's hard to keep up with it. And so when my son was in fifth grade, we had an accommodation that allowed me to type for him so that he could say it and get it out of his head, and I would just write it down for him, and I would be his scribe so that he didn't have to do the physical activity of writing. Or he got permission to use the computer to do it instead of handwriting it all, so that when the edits came, he could just edit it rather than having to rewrite the whole thing. So those are the examples of things to make it easier for him, because it's really hard. The other side of it is, like we were talking with Christine, it's like, what could you do to help him to be more motivated? What would be a good motivation for him to do well on some of these assignments that are boring or difficult?
Right. I mean, we've used a Lego set, and you know, that worked really well because of the fifth grade. There was tons of changes for the fifth grade, tons and tons of changes. So after about 3 weeks, we got him a 1,200-piece Lego set, which he put together in one evening, okay? And he loved it. He thought, I know, right? He thought that was, like, the best thing ever, like, ever, ever, ever. But I just don't want to get into the habit of just always, you know, kind of buying him some. I like the Lego sets to be a surprise to him. I don't like him to know when he's receiving them. Unfortunately, he lost the computer because he broke something in the house, you know. So.
Well, and so one of the things that I love to do, have clients do, is to take something. So electronics is a great concept, and Legos maybe that work the same way. But you begin to use things that they already enjoy as a reward.
Mm-hmm.
So about 6 years ago, we decided that computer time was a right and not a privilege. And you had to accomplish certain things in order to earn screen time. And so it may be that you could do something similar with Legos where, you know, if he's able to stay focused, and you want to be careful with this because it may be that his brain has a difficult time. Again, it may be hard. So it's kind of like if you can write for 30 minutes and stay focused on a project for 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever is reasonable at his developmental stage, then you can take a 15-minute break and play with Legos and have a Lego race or whatever it is that he likes to do. You know, so you're using something rather than buying him something. You're using a reward of something he enjoys doing, as a reward, and it works with anybody else. It's kind of like if you want to not necessarily reward completion, but you want to reward sustained attention. So if they're able to stay at it for a period of time, and it depends on the age. At 17, it might be, you know, spending a whole hour working on homework. You can take 10 minutes and watch 2 YouTube videos. At 10, it might be you work for 20 minutes and you can take a 10-minute break and play Lego. And that's about, again, it's about activating the brain through motivation to encourage them to be able to stimulate the brain in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, we could probably, I'm sure my husband and I could come up with something, you know, that would be appropriate for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Christine, is there anything that comes up for you? I know that, you know, your child's older. I don't know if you have any ideas for Tammy or anything that comes up for you in your situation as we're talking about motivation and brain activation.
Well, I was just thinking that to motivate him with the Legos isn't because he does love it so much that it sounds like I remember trying to hold too many things back that was a pleasure for my son because I felt like it was better to kind of, I guess, I don't know about parent, but just to be tougher that way. And sometimes looking back now, I feel like maybe I didn't make the right choices and that, you know, if I could have said, okay, you work or you finish that thing and you get to do a Lego or something that was makes him really happy, I feel like that would have been more of a motivator for him and made him feel good about what he'd done. So, and also on the, what you're talking about, the scribe stuff, he, my son also uses the dragon speech and does all, he speaks to his computer and gets all of his stuff put in that way without having to type it. And that has been really big for him, very helpful. And he's the same way. He won't even have us edit stuff and never has because, you know, to have to go back and change something and change a word and those things, it's just, that means it's like we've given him too much more work to do. So I chuckled when you turned in his rough draft because that sounds familiar.
Aww. Very familiar. Very familiar. No, thank you for that. And so what, but what, so, and then the other side of it is, how does that, so if you're looking back, Christine, and saying, oh, I wish I'd done more of that when he was younger, how can you apply that to what's going on right now in terms of helping him to be even more motivated?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I guess in some ways, and it's almost too much to talk about now, is that with him, he's got such as, I think I got too, I started to back off because he would get so argumentative and a big voice and just get into it with me as I would try to put in the rules or, you know, whole, you know, set up a structure and whatever. And I got so tired of the arguing and the off the, you know, getting off track and that kind of stuff that I backed down too much. And I don't, I think at this point it's because I backed off, I've lost some, I don't know if it's credibility, but it's hard to go back words. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No, it does make sense because what happens is that we know our kids need help and we get to a point where they start resisting it because even if they feel like they know that they need help, the part of them that wants to be independent because they're 15, 14, 13, 16, whatever it is, starts kicking in and says, no, I don't need any help. And it's more of an ego sort of thing because their ego starts to develop.
Right.
And so what I would encourage you and what I encourage clients to do is to really begin to ask them how I can help you. So instead of, do you want help? The question becomes, I see you're struggling. How can I help you? And you're giving them the control and you're giving them the responsibility. So it's not an option to refuse help. It's just a matter of them saying, what do you want to do? You know, I'm going to do something for you. What do you want me to do? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And a lot, we were talking in the call yesterday, it's like sometimes you might want to just give them three choices. So you're having a hard time finishing assignments for this class. You know, if you have an idea for what you want to do, great. If not, I'm going to give you three suggestions and let you choose one of them and see how it works. You know, so it might be, you know, you bring your iPad to school and you take a picture of the stuff on the board. Or it might be that, you know, you send an email to the teacher once a week. Or it might be that I send an email to the teacher once a week. You know, so whatever it is, you're giving them options, but you're allowing them to be in the driver's seat and decide what's going to be done. Okay. So we've got about 8 minutes left. I want to go a little bit back to our wrap up. At the end of each call, we go through the four questions. No, the four questions are on page 16. And again, if you guys need more details, or those of you who are listening need more details on executive function, I encourage you to go to the website. If you want to continue the conversation out on Facebook, we'd love to have people post questions or ideas, that sort of thing out there. There's been such great activity and such great posting going on. There's like over 100 people in our group now, and it's really exciting to see all the activity going on. But so at the end of each call, we wrap up with, you know, what did I focus on? What did I pay most attention to? What was it that kind of stood out as part of our conversation? And then the second question is, what's my clarity? What was the takeaway? What was my aha from the call? The third question is, what's a realistic action step for me to take? And then the last one is, what do I need to do to set myself up for success? So I'm interested, since there's only two of you on the phone today, just hearing from both of you, you know, what was the big takeaway, and what does that mean in terms of action for you? Tammy, you want to go first?
Sure. Let's see. A big takeaway. I'm sorry, I was just reading. I have the book open as well. My big takeaway was probably just when I was looking over the book, it was reminding me about the working memory, because it's really been giving my child a hard time. I'm having a hard time too, so that was really nice to read that. Probably my takeaway today would be just that the focus is really such a huge part of it. I'm just trying to. And that I'm just all messed up. Probably just the working memory and the focus is such a huge part of everything. And I'm just trying to work with him to kind of incorporate everything.
So what would working with him look like?
I just say, you know, just give him a few things that come up this week, and I would just try and, you know, different avenues to get a couple of things done. And a few times it worked, and a few times it didn't work. And so I guess just finding different little things that work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then it all has to do with this. It's not just that he is being, you know, defiant or unruly or doing things on purpose. You know, the breaking the cupboard the other day, it was definitely the ADHD. And, I shared it with my husband. I shared with my husband the plan he came home with last night. And it was like, it was just an eye opener to my husband, and it was just, that was very nice.
So what it sounds like, Tammy, is that you're going to spend some time being just a little bit more curious and noticing what might be going on because of the brain difference, and paying more attention to that. Okay.
Right.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine, what about you?
Sorry, can I add one more?
Absolutely.
And the self-regulation too, because that's a huge problem. He has no. It's very hard for him to self-regulate, and so if I can remember the 3 to 5 years, and the self-regulation part as well, because you know it's just made such a huge difference. And I think that part of it was for me. Was kind of the groundwork, okay, and then this other stuff is kind of being built on top of that. Because when it first started happening, all I noticed was the self-regulation. Like he would just freak out all the time over everything. So that was probably the foundation, the self-regulation, and then all of these other things that are listed are kind of being built on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense. And so, again, what you're talking about is really noticing and understanding what the challenges of executive function are to go, maybe what's really going on here is executive function.
Right, exactly.
Great. Christine, what about you?
Okay. I guess part of my aha moment was probably like the magical thinking that you talked about, and how it's just so true how they're sort of now and now. It's like, so, and I've been having been reading stuff on your site, and all this stuff is getting it. By like, there was one article about the no and go, and how that is so true. And so what my takeaway would be is to show more compassion towards him, since his brain does work differently, and to try to step back and remember that, you know, it just doesn't click as much or as say ours do, you know, like just, but to have more compassion, that's something else that I feel that maybe I missed in being more frustrated and not understanding as much that how it is just different, instead of trying to be either harder on him or pushing him in a different way, to step back and have the compassion and really sort of sympathize with him that, yeah, stuff is hard, and showing him, giving him that support, I think he would benefit from.
Well, and here's the thing I love about that is that having compassion is a more productive way of approaching it than being frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're frustrated, it wears you out and it makes it harder on both of you.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I've spent way too much time there. So
great.
I don't like being awesome. in that feeling and in that state. I don't like parenting that way. It's not how I just, you know, he's a good kid. Things are just different, and I just want to be able to like you say, I think another aha is it wasn't today, but you can't fix it. You just have to and re-strategize in your own head about how you support them and you love them for how they are. I mean, you can't fix it. It's not changeable.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome.
And can I add something really quick? I found that having the compassion causes you, the mother, to step back and take a breath. And that's what it did for me when I really started implementing the compassion for him. It would always cause me to stop and then take a breath and then kind of go from there. And it just made everything a lot smoother because I was coming from, it caused me to come from a healthy place, you know?
Yeah.
And if I could just add one more thing for you, because I have a 17-year-old too with the ADD, and he's the exact same as your son about school, the exact same. And so anyway, we have introduced to him going to a trade school, and he could go mm-hmm. and get into something that he was really, really, truly interested in and not have to take all the extra classes that, frankly, his brain can't do math at all. So he doesn't even have to take that kind of stuff. He can just go and take the stuff at a trade school that he's really interested in. So the school where we go to, the place where we live, kind of put him in on a track, you know, to get him ready for a trade school, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a vocational school, but he couldn't go there because he skipped so many days of school, to be frank, because he didn't want to go to school because he hated it. But anyway, he loved it. He pretty much is growing on the idea of a trade school because that would have all of his interest in mind. So maybe that would work out well for you guys as well.
Well, that would be good. Thank you. Yeah, I'll...
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, for a great call today. And we are on not next week, but the week after. And if you guys have any challenges with logistical stuff, you guys can reach me at Diane@ImpactADHD. And we'll talk next week. Or not next week, the week after. Sorry.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you.